You need God, whether you know it or not. You need His presence because you need Him. You need something from Him, right? And I would say that some of you this morning, it's a miracle in your marriage that you need. You need Him to show up and to bring healing to your marriage, maybe. Or some of you, it might be a miracle in your finances, and you need help and provision from God this morning. Or maybe some of you, it's a miracle in your body that you're needing. The report that you got from the doctor's not good, and you need a touch from God. Some of you right now, I believe you're probably an emotional mess. I've been there. You're anxious and you're overwhelmed and you're afraid, and you need the peace that only God can give you in moments like this. And some of you, you have toddlers, and you just need strength to get through today, right? Like, Jesus, help me now, right? And I know that some of you have these toddlers because I had heard that there was last week we had 24 babies in the nursery. Is that not incredible? God is doing some amazing things. And, you know, you need something from God and I need something from God. And I believe that today, if we'll listen to this message through the lens of what you need from God this morning, that you might discover something that will surprise you. And I want to share with you a very powerful and very personal truth to me this morning. And that's this, is that your greatest need becomes a gift when it drives you to depend on God. Amen. I want you to think about that for just a minute. I'm going to say it again, that your greatest need can become a gift when it drives you to depend on God. All right? Would you pray with me? We're going to just pray for God to be in our presence today. Father, this morning I come to you in the name of Jesus, and I ask God that through your word, God, that you would speak to each and every one of us and you would do a work in our lives. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would enable me to preach this message today in a way that it would transform lives in Jesus' name. I ask this in your precious name, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Amen. Well, we're in a message series on the Old Testament prophet Elisha. Last week I started this, and I don't know how long it's going to last, but I'm going to just dig into this guy for a few weeks. And so today we're going to look at a powerful story in 2 Kings chapter 3, all right? And whenever we look at God's Word, I believe that it's very important for us to have a little bit of context of where we're at and understand a little bit about the story. And so if you were with us last week, we've seen where Elijah, the prophet Elijah, he came and he called the prophet Elisha to take his place. And so we've seen that last week Elisha, he accepted the call. He said, I will. And so he stepped out and he took the mantle and he took the call. But before he did something spectacular. He took the plow that he was plowing with and he broke that wooden plow up and he used that wood and he burnt that plow. And using the fire from that, he also slaughtered the oxen and he took that meat and he fed it to his friends and his family as kind of a symbol that, hey, there's no plan B. I said I'm going to follow God and I'm going to follow him with all of my heart. And I asked you last week, I asked you the question, what plow is it that you need to burn so that you can follow God fully in your life? And so this week we're going to take a look a little bit deeper and a little bit further down the line. We're going to look about 5 years or so has passed, and there's been a season of silence where Elisha was learning from Elijah, and God was doing a work in him and developing him for his ministry as the next prophet. And so, excuse me, there's really not any record of what happened during that 5 years, but what we do know is that Elijah was taken up into heaven and Elisha steps into his full part of ministry of being a prophetic prophet in that day. And so we also know that in the world, much like today, there was a whole lot of chaos. Amen. There's a lot of chaos in our world today. And so I want to give you a little bit of back context on that. So we see here that some of the chaos that was going on is that for years and years, Moab, the king of Moab, which was an evil king, he had been paying taxes to the king of Israel. And then just one day, the king of Moab, he decides, you know what? I'm tired of paying taxes. I'm not going to pay them anymore. Can anybody ever been there? How many of you would like to give up taxes, right? Yeah. But that's what he did. He said, I'm tired of paying taxes and I'm not going to pay taxes anymore. And so when he decided that he was going to do this, well, the king of Judah, King Jehoshaphat is his name, he joined forces with a couple of other kings, other armies. And so now you've got Judah, and then you've got north of there was Israel, and below him south was the nation of Edom. And so these three kings, they decided they were going to join their troops and attack the one kingdom of Moab. So there's three nations against one. Doesn't sound very fair, does it? And I think that these guys thought that it was probably going to be a very easy battle. They expected to win really easy, but things didn't go as planned. How many of you would agree that life rarely goes as planned, right? Well, on the way to attack the Moabites, the troops actually, they ran out of water. And so that becomes a very big problem. And we're going to see that in our story today. We're going to start in 2 Kings chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. All right? And so it says, so the king of Israel set out with the king of Judah and the king of Edom. So we got our three nations go and attack the one. All right? It says, after a roundabout march of 7 days, the army had no more water for themselves or for the animals with them. So, man, they're in a bad situation, aren't they? Because you can't live very long without water. And so they find themselves in serious trouble. And then they go on and it reads, what, exclaimed the king of Israel, has the Lord called us three kings together to deliver us into the hands of Moab? So in other words, they're saying, wait a minute, God, what are you doing? Anybody ever been there? God, what are you doing? And they're saying, have you set us up to fail? We can't fight without water. We can't even live without water. And so they're calling out on God. Have you noticed how quickly things can go from bad to worse, right? Things can go bad to worse. I mean, especially in our personal lives, right? You see, it's like the middle of the month, and you know money's already tight, and you're a little bit worried about it, but then all of a sudden the car breaks down and the rent's still due. Or maybe your marriage isn't great, and you know that it's not, but all of a sudden, maybe things just escalated really fast, and now you're talking about the D word, divorce. And one minute you think you can handle it, and the next minute you're desperate, and you think, man, I can't take much more of this, God. I need water, and I need water now. God, I need a miracle, and I need a miracle now. God, I need provision, and I need provision now. And suddenly, you feel desperate for God. And just as a side note, we're always desperate for God. Amen? Amen. We're always, we may not realize it, but we're always desperate for the presence of God. And so it says that after 7 day march that they find themselves with no water and the troops are desperate. And now I'm going to give you a little spoiler alert right now because I'm going to go ahead and tell you the end of the story. All right? God's going to show up and he's going to meet their needs. But God's not going to do it when they expect it, and he's not going to do it how they expect it. How many of you know that God doesn't always do things the way we want him to or when we want him to? Amen? Amen. But his plan and his timing is perfect. I can promise you that. And so here we see that the King Jehoshaphat, and he's under a lot of stress. And we're going to continue our verse 11 and 12. We're going to read this. It says, but Jehoshaphat asked, is there no prophet of the Lord here? Like, we need God's presence now, right? And so it says, is there no prophet through whom we may inquire of the Lord? I'm sorry, I may have to have that bottle of water right there by you, David. I got it right there. Oh, he got me one right there. Okay, I had one over here, but thank you. Thank you, Bob. Oh, he's already got the lid off and everything. Thank you. I'm not used to that. I threw the lid down. I was like, don't need that. So it says, is there no prophet through whom we may inquire of the Lord? An officer of the king of Israel answered, Elisha, the son of Shaphat, is here. He used to pour water in the hands of Elijah. Jehoshaphat said, "The word of the Lord is with him." So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to Elisha. Now, I want us to see here, whenever he asked, "Is there a prophet?" I think that it would be safe to say here that the king of Israel hasn't really been seeking God, or he would know this. He would know there was one. And so Elisha says this. He says, "Well, why do you want to involve me now?" Like, why do you want to call on God now? You've been worshiping these other gods, and now you just want to use him? Is that the deal? And so we see that he's just kind of antagonizing him a little bit. And if I can, I'm going to step on our toes a little bit, because this morning I just want you to know, this is us. This is me. I include myself in this. You see, there's been times that we believe in God, and there are those times whenever we're there but believing, but we don't seek him. We don't read his word. We're not praying like we should. We're not asking for the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. And then all of a sudden, life starts to fall apart, and we're just like this, aren't we? We're like, "Oh God, remember me. Remember me, Lord. Help me now. I need you." And so we see that they hadn't been walking with God. They've been ignoring him. They've been doing their own thing. They've been turning to other gods. And all of a sudden, here they are, just like us at times, they're saying, "Oh God, can you help me out? Can you help me?" Well, let's look at verse 14 and see what Elisha says. Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord Almighty lives, whom I serve, if I did not have respect for the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not pay any attention to you." Now watch this part here. I like this, because right out of the blue he says, "But now bring me a harpist." That's pretty odd, isn't it? Pretty random. Here's the king, and he's panicking. He's freaking out, and the soldiers are thirsty, and the nations are at war with one another. And the prophet Elisha says, "Hang on, wait a minute, guys. Just bring me a harpist, all right? Like I can't prophesy without music, or the sermon's coming to an end. Could you play me some music back there, guys?" You know, and he's like, "Bring me a harpist." They're going to war, and here is the prophet asking for a harpist. Why did he ask for this harpist? Because he wanted to worship God. And the reason he wanted to worship God is because he knew that worship is warfare. One of the best things that you and I can do, and when we get in the middle of a war, a battle of things in our life, one of the best things we can do is worship God. Amen? So why do we worship God? Like why did we sing songs this morning and lift up the name of Jesus and try to usher in the presence of God this morning? It's because worship will change our perspective. It'll change the way we look at things. Whenever you take your eyes off of the problems of this world and you put your eyes on the provider of this world, the King of Kings, Jehovah Jireh, when we put our eyes on him, suddenly it moves you from a place of desperation to a place of faith. And so worship changes our perspective. And worship also, it invites God's power into our presence, just like it did for Paul and Silas. Remember, they were in the prison in midnight, and they're in there worshiping God and singing, and all of a sudden the chains break and the doors fly open. It's because worship brings in the presence and the power of an almighty God. And worship also does one other thing I want us to look at this morning, and that's it creates a space for us to hear from God. When we worship, it opens a space for us to hear from God. And I want to encourage you to slow down this week a little bit, if you will, and seek God, because he hears the cries of your heart this morning. And when you draw near to him, he will draw near to you. And then you can hear from him, and he will begin to guide you, and he'll begin to convict you, and he'll begin to comfort you, because your worship gives room for God to speak in our lives. Amen? And so here they are in the middle of their trial, and they're worshiping God. And then God speaks through Elisha, and he tells them to get to work. If we look at verse 15, and I'm going to change versions on you from the NIV to the New King James Version here for this scripture, because I like the way it said it. It says, "Then it happened, when the musician played, the hand of the Lord came upon Elisha, and he said, 'Thus says the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. It's as if God was saying, you know what? I'm going to send you the water that you're asking for, but first, I want you to dig a ditch. You see, you need some water? Dig a ditch. And so Elisha continues his prophecy on behalf of God, and he says this in verses 17 and 18. He says, "For this is what the Lord says, you'll see neither wind nor rain, yet this valley will be filled with water, and you, your cattle, and your other animals will drink. This is an easy thing in the eyes of the Lord. He will also deliver Moab into your hands." Now, I want us to notice something here about this scripture, what Elisha didn't do and what Elisha did do, all right? The first thing, he didn't focus on what he saw, but he did focus on what God said, okay? Elisha didn't look around and say, well, the ground is dry. I don't see any rain in the forecast. Doppler Dave hadn't said anything about it. You know, he didn't say any of that. He didn't say the situation's looking desperate, but he did take a look around and he seen the things, but he didn't focus on those. He focused on what God said. And God said this. He said, "You won't see it, but I'll do it." It's basically what he's saying. And so God said, "This is an easy thing for me." He said, "I've got this. You see, I've been ruling this world since I created it." Basically is what God says here. He says, "I've raised up kings and I've tore down kings. Nothing surprises me." That's what God says. And so for you and I, how can we apply that to our lives when we wake up in the middle of the night and we're overwhelmed and we don't know what to do? Can I tell you, we need to listen to the word of the Lord when he's saying, "This is an easy thing for me. I've got you covered." You got to have faith in God to do that, though. And what does faith do and not do? Well, faith doesn't deny what you see, but faith does decide who you will believe. And I believe in the word of the Lord this morning. How about you? I believe in the word that never fails. And that's why whenever I need God to move in my life, like whenever I'm hurting or I'm desperate or I'm afraid, I have to remind myself that this is what I see, but I also know what God's word says. And here's a key to this. You got to read God's word if you're going to know what it says. So I want to challenge you today, this year, this week, begin reading God's word, hiding it in your heart. So when times like this comes, you'll be able to stand on God's word. Amen. And for somebody here, you're here this morning and all you see is the bills piling up. But God's word says in Philippians 4:19, he says, "And my God will meet all your needs according to his riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." So see, if you know God's word, you're freaking out about your bills, you'll know how to stand on it. You'll have a scripture. You see, we need to believe what he says. Some of us in here, you might be saying, you know what? I feel horrible about my past mistakes, and I feel guilt and shame all the time. Can I tell you, God's word says that therefore there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You see, if you're in Christ Jesus, your sins have been forgiven. And they're as far as from the east is from the west. Never to be held against you again. You see, you got to stand on God's word so that you can believe in it. If you find yourself this morning and you're hurting and afraid, God says to you this morning, he says, "I've not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." See, if you don't know his word in 2 Timothy 1:7, you wouldn't know that he said that about you, did you? Would you? So you don't look at what you see. You believe and you walk in what he says. Amen? And so I want to slow down for just a minute. I want to show you something in his word here that it might be a little bit different from what you might typically think. Let's watch what happens here. God says to them, he says, "Look, I'm going to send the water, but before I send the water, I want you to dig a ditch." In other words, only God can send the water, but sometimes he asks you and me to dig a ditch, doesn't he? Why? Why does he want us to dig a ditch? Because many times what God wants to do is he wants to join our faith with his power so that he can do the miracle. Amen. Many times, literally, he wants us to participate in his miracle. And you can see it over and over again in God's word when we look at Jesus and his stories. Do you remember the guy with the crippled hand? And he could have just walked up to the guy and he said, "Poof, you're healed." He could have done that, but he didn't. What did he say? He told the guy, he said, hey, stretch out your hand or join your faith with mine. And so the guy did. He joined his faith with his, and he stretched out his hand, and he was instantly healed. Or there was the guy that for 38 years, he couldn't walk. And Jesus could have just went up to him and said, walk. But what did Jesus do? Jesus says to the guy, he says, hey, pick up your mat. So in other words, I want to see your faith. And according to your faith, it will be done unto you. He says, pick up your mat and walk. So it was a joint effort. Or what about the blind guy that Jesus healed one time when he kind of did it in a weird way? The guy was blind, and so Jesus picks up some dirt and he spits in it and he makes these little mud cakes and puts it on the guy's eyes. And then he tells him, he says, hey, go to the pool of Siloam and bathe. And when you do, you'll be healed. And so the guy goes to the pool of Siloam, and all of a sudden his eyes were healed and he could see. So in other words, I think that almost as if sometimes as God is saying to us, hey, show me your faith and I'll show you my faithfulness. I'll show you my faithfulness. And so what this does is this leads me to my question for you this week. What ditch do you need to dig to prepare you for what God wants to do in you and through you? What ditch do you need to dig? You see, for you parents today raising kids in this world that we live in, if you want godly kids, you're going to need to dig some ditches. Man, I'm telling you, you're going to have faith to dig these ditches. I'm talking about digging in and praying daily over your kids, digging in and declaring God's word over them. You see, I've heard parents as a kids pastor tell me before, oh, well, I can't control who my kids' friends are. Well, that's true to some degree, but the word also says, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. So if it was me, I would have my kids in Summit or High Octane Kids every single week. Because if you can't control who their friends are, you can control the environment you put them in. Amen. And so I would dig some ditches and I would put them in some environments that where the Holy Spirit can do a work in them, and they won't get sucked into the lies of this world so easily and lured by the things that our spiritual enemy tries to lure them with. You see, we need to dig some ditches for our kids and say by faith, you know what? I'm not going to let that phone, it's not going to shape you. I'm not going to let your friends shape you. I'm not going to let that algorithm shape you. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to put you in a place where the Spirit of God can shape you. I'm going to bring you to a place where they're teaching you God's word. We got to dig some ditches this year for our kids. Amen. How about in our marriages? If it's not the marriage that you want it to be, it's always fussing and fighting and pointing fingers. Can I tell you, I just want to say, dig a ditch. Dig a ditch. You go first. You go first. You apologize first. You forgive first. I've heard people say, oh, I'd lay down my life for my spouse. And then I watch their actions and they won't even give up their own selfish desires for them. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm just telling you what I feel like God's telling me to tell you this morning. You see, we need to lay down our lives for our spouse, even though they're not being kind to us. That's what Jesus did. He laid down his life for the church, even when we had our backs turned to him. You see, you need to seek God in your marriage. You need to dig a ditch. You need to pray for your marriage. You need to get some counseling, some godly counseling. The Bible talks about godly counsel. Don't just go out and get some guy that's got a certificate on the wall. You need to find somebody that has godly counseling that will lead you through his word and how a marriage should look like in the eyes of the Lord. Amen? You need to humble yourselves. We need to say, look, I'm putting your needs above my needs. Sometimes that's not easy in a really, really hard marriage, is it? But you know what we got to do? We just got to keep coming back, and we got to keep digging that ditch. We got to get rid of that D word. Quit saying that. Don't even bring it up. Don't let it be a vocabulary word in your house. You got to get rid of that, because God joins you together. He made you as one, and he's going to keep you together. Amen? If you'll dig a ditch, I tell you, he will. The Bible tells us here, it says that we can cast all of our cares on him because he cares for us. So if you're here this morning and you're anxious or you're feeling overwhelmed, what do you need to do? You need to dig a ditch and you need to cast all your cares upon the Lord and let Him care for you. His word also says, He says, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. It's with prayer and petition that we present our request to God. And then when you dig the ditch, the water will come. And the presence of God, that peace that passes all understanding, it'll begin to fill your heart and fill your mind and fill your soul in Jesus' name. I believe that with all my heart this morning. Dig a ditch this morning and receive what God has for you. I want to say one more thing. Can I tell you that Jesus doesn't look and say, are they on the left or are they on the right? Jesus looks at us and He says, are they lost or are they found? I'm going to tell you this morning, I don't care which way you vote, but if you don't know Him, then you don't know the hope of who He is. And you can stand up for every cause that you might want to stand up for. But if you're not standing up for Him, then one day when you have to stand before Him, it's not going to be a good day. It's time to dig a ditch. And I want to say with all my heart this morning, dig a ditch and stop playing church. Just because you go to church, it doesn't mean that you know Him. Dig a ditch. Confess your sins to Him. Cry out to Him, Jesus, save me from my sins. I'm begging you this morning to dig a ditch today. If you draw near to God, He'll draw near to you. And only God can send the water. Sometimes you and I, we've got to dig a ditch, don't we? I'm going to stop meddling. I'm going to get back to my message. And so the armies, they start digging, don't they? They start digging the ditches. And if we look at the first part of it, we see that what happens? Absolutely nothing. Nothing. They're digging and nothing happens. So what do you do when you're digging and nothing happens? Well, Scripture tells us, it says, do not grow weary for in doing good, for at the proper time you'll reap a harvest if you do not give up. So we can't give up. And that means that's the reason that sometimes when you and I, we get frustrated is because we're doing everything we know to do is right, but sometimes we don't see the progress as fast as we want it to be. So I want to remind you this morning that God is faithful and that God doesn't always provide for you and me how or when we think that He should. But I want you to remember this. If God says He'll fill it, we need to dig until He does. Just dig until He does. Now watch this. It says they've been digging and digging and nothing happens. But then we go to verse 20 and it says, but the next day, the next day at about the time when the morning sacrifice was offered, everybody say it with me, water suddenly appeared. Wow. So the next day in God's timing, in the way God wanted to do it, water suddenly appeared. It says that it was flowing from the direction of Edom, and soon there was water everywhere. There was water everywhere. You see, they dug all day. They dug when it was dry. They dug when it was hot. They dug when that didn't make any sense. They dug when nothing changed. And the Bible says, and then suddenly God provided. Because we serve a God of suddenly, don't we? Listen to me this morning. When you dig faithfully, God can feel suddenly. He can feel suddenly. I want to talk to someone who's here this morning. I don't know, maybe you're in the valley of a dry valley this morning. You're right in the middle of it. You're hurting and you're desperate. You're thirsty and you haven't seen rain. I want to remind you this morning that your greatest need can become a gift when it drives you to depend on God. So put the shovel in the ground and put your hands up into the air and begin to worship God this morning and let everything that has breath praise the Lord. If you got breath in your lungs this morning, you've got a reason to praise God. And whenever you begin to dig in, when you dig in and you begin to worship, let me tell you, God will meet you in your dry place. He'll meet you in your dry place. And whenever you trust God faithfully, He will show up suddenly. Do not grow weary in doing good, for at the proper time, suddenly you'll reap a harvest. If you do not give up, suddenly the chains will break off. Suddenly that anxiety lifts, and suddenly the depression is gone, and suddenly that marriage is restored and your relationship is better than it's ever been. You see, we serve a God of suddenly. What felt impossible became possible because all things are possible with God. Amen. Amen. Stand with me if you would. Stand with me if you would. Can you play me some music, please? I just want you to bow your heads and close your eyes for just a few moments. Can we just spend some time in His presence? Father, this morning we come and we're desperate for You. Lord, I pray that You'd hear the cries of Your people today. God, as we just stand before You desperate. Father, I pray that You'd heal our land and revive our hearts. And Father, that You'd bring unity into the body of Christ this morning. And God, that You would use us to shine the light of Jesus into this broken world that we live in. Father, help us to dig ditches this morning. Help us to be willing to ask the question, what ditch do You want me to dig this morning so that You can prepare me for what You want to do in me and through me this year, God? Through this week, in my family, on my job. God, whatever it is, what ditch do You want us to dig this morning? Father, we're desperate for Your presence. We need You this morning. As a believer of Jesus, are you willing to ask Him that question this morning? Are you willing to say, God, what ditch do You need me to dig so that You can prepare me for what You want to do in me and through me this year? If you're willing to do that, I pray, would you just raise both hands right now and begin to worship our Almighty God this morning? God, it's in Your presence that we're set free. It's in Your presence that we're healed. Father, what ditch do You need us to dig? Father, personally, what ditch do I need to dig this year? God, so that You can flow through me and in me and do a work inside of me, oh God. I'm desperate for You. I need You this morning, Lord. I need You, Jesus. Father, I pray that You'd give us the courage to step out in faith and dig a ditch. Father, that You'd move in our lives in such a way, God, that we know it's Your hand upon us, because only the water can come from You. Father, there's so many needs in this building right now that only can come from You. So God, I pray You'd help us to dig ditches and so that we could suddenly see You fill this place and minister. And God, that Your presence would be so mighty in this place right now, God, that chains would begin to fall off, that lives would begin to shape and look more like You than they did when they walked in this place this morning, God. Father, I pray that You'd give us the faith to stand on Your word. And Father, You would give us a burden for Your word so that we can read it and hide it in our heart, so that when times like this come, we can stand upon Your word knowing that Your word is true and absolute. God, it's by Your faith, by faith in You, God, that Your hand is moved on our behalf and suddenly You'll meet our needs. God, I love You this morning. I pray, Lord, that You'd show us what ditches we need to dig. Because, God, I want You to fill this place. We may not see it. We may not hear it. But, God, we'll know that You filled this place with Your presence this morning, God. I thank You, Lord. Pray that You'd do a work in our hearts. Father, I just thank You for what You're doing right now. I want to speak to those of you that might be here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior. I want to ask you this morning, dig a ditch and ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins. And when you do, the Bible says that He is faithful and just to forgive you of all unrighteousness. I want to ask you to go first. Reach out. I mean, just reach out. Jesus went first, not you. He went first. He gave his life for you. Now I'm asking you to dig a ditch of faith and receive what he has for you. You see, Jesus died upon the cross so that you and I could have life everlasting. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, my heart is this morning is that you would just dig a ditch and say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. And I promise you, he'll hear your prayer this morning and he'll forgive you of your sins. And he'll make you new this morning and you'll become a new creation in him. And your sins will be as far from the east as from the west, never to be held against you again. You just got to dig a ditch. Have the faith to step out and say, Jesus, save me. If that's you this morning, I just want you, as an act of faith, I want you to just raise your hand up this morning and say, Jesus, save me. And we're going to pray a prayer together. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to say a prayer this morning. I want us all to pray so no one prays alone. And it's a simple prayer. But it's got to be one that you believe. It's got to be one that you really mean this morning through faith that Jesus did the work so you don't have to. Say, dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so that you can lead me, so that you can guide me. Lord, I give you my life and I thank you for yours. I receive salvation in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.